you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Have your way. Come on, Lord, you are welcome in this place. 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 Have your way. Move by your Spirit, Lord, in this place. Your Spirit in this place. Move by your Spirit. Have your way. Move by your Spirit, Lord, in this place. Move by your Spirit. In this place, in this place, in this place. Have one more time, Lord, you are welcome. Oh Lord, Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. There was one time that the prophet preached Jesus with dirty feet. He was invited to a feast, but he wasn't welcomed. I'm so glad he has a place where he's welcome amongst people that believe him, that trust him, that love him. Amen, amen. Let's turn to Psalms 46 in our Bibles. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Heavenly Father, we rest under the shadows of your wing, fortified behind your word, Lord God, because your word is truth. And there's no other place that we can stand than upon the word of God. And we have come to this place, Lord God, that we might hear your word, Lord, that you may fortify us once again with your word, Lord, that we may be strengthened, Lord. And Father God, as we have come into this house, we ask that you anoint our vessels, Lord, for your use. Anoint this congregation in a special way. May you rain down upon each one, Lord. Lord, may you lift every burden from our heart, Lord, that we may concentrate completely on you. Forget about ourselves and look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. Father, just have your way, Lord. Anoint our pastor this morning in a special way as he brings forth your word, Lord. Bless his heart, Lord. May he rejoice in the goodness of the Lord and what you have revealed to him that he's to bring to the people this morning. And may we rejoice with him. Father, we ask that you grant traveling mercies to our brothers and sisters, Lord, who are still on their way. Be with your children wherever they gather together today. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. Mm-hmm. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Oh, no, 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 no. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, your look, my heart, oh, oh, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, when it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Mm-hmm. Though I'm weak and worn, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Oh no. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. Said I'm coming back, I'm coming back to the heart. And it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, Lord, it's all about you. Said I'm coming back to the heart. When it's all about you, it's all about you. I'm so sorry for the things I made it when it's all about you. Oh, oh, I'm coming back to the heart. It's all about you. Say I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made. It's all about you. Said it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. Hallelujah. It's all about you, Jesus. All about you. Oh, it's all about, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. Said I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's all about Him. Amen. He's the center of our life. He's the center of everything we are. Amen. He's the center of our joy. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. And all that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Say, Jesus, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. And all that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you are the center of my joy. When I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my ways. When nights are long and cold, in sadness, you're the laughter that shatters all my fears. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment.
Christ, you are the center of my joy. You're why I find pleasure in the simple things in life. You're the music and the meadows and the streams. The voices of the children, my family and my home. You're the source and the finish of my highest dream. Oh, joy, and all that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, of my joy. One more time. Say, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. And all that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Jesus, you are the center of my, you're everything, everything, you're everything, you're everything. You are the center of my joy. Sorrow, you're the hope for tomorrow. When I'm lonely, feel inside, you're the lifter of my head. You are the center of my joy.
So sorry. I had that song in my heart, but it didn't come out the way I thought it would. But praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. We're serving the living God. Amen. I just want to praise Him this morning. We want to sing this little song, God's Not Dead. He's still alive. Amen. I heard the old folks say, God's not dead. He's yet alive. Praise the Lord. But we're going to sing it anyhow. God's not dead, He's yet alive. I said, God's not dead, He's yet alive. I said, God's not dead. I'm feeling, yes, sir. Feel Him in my feet, feel Him in my heart, feel Him all over me. I said, God not dead. Well, God not dead. I can't, my feel Him in my heart, feel Him all up. One more time. Well, God not dead. He's yet alive.
said, God, not dead. I said, God, not dead. I'm feeling it. My hands, my feet, my heart feeling more. Oh, well, God, not dead. I said, God, not dead. I said, God, not dead. I'm feeling it, my hand, my feet, my heart. God, not dead. I said, God, not dead. Saying God not dead. I'm feeling in my hands, feeling in my feet, feeling in my heart. Listen. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. I said you don't know like I know. You don't know like I know. Been so good to me. I get joy when I think about. I get joy when I think about. I get joy when I think about. He's been so good to me. You can't tell it like I can. No, you can't tell it like I can. You can't tell it like I can. He's been so good to me. Well, you don't know like I know. You don't know like I know. You don't know like I know. He's been so good to me.
My Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have a few specials this morning. Amen. You may have your seats if you can. Oh, man. The Lord. Amen. Where's Brother Jeffrey at? There he is. God bless you, Brother Jeffrey. Will you come this morning?
Bless you. Pray for me. Wasn't really too sure what to sing. I would just sing this. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, now forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, thy hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, on to me. Summer in winter, springtime in harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see, in all I have needed thy hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Let's sing that again.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, thy hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Praise the Lord, he's a faithful God. Praise the Lord, God bless you, Brother Jeffrey. Sister Charisse, will you come this morning? Praise the Lord.
God of the heat. walk out of the hills and valleys. Hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys. And I am not alone. You're God of the hills and God of the valleys. You're God of the hills and valleys. And I am not alone.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He'll meet you wherever you need him. Amen. I'm so glad he's a God of the hills and the valleys. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need him in the valley, but we need him on the hilltop also. Never lose sight of who your God is. Praise the Lord. Amen. We don't have any requests that's written down. We want to pray for our pastor this morning. We want to pray for all of our ministering brothers, all of our brothers and sisters who cannot make it here this morning. We want to pray for one another always. Amen. Any unspoken requests, your Bible lifted hand. Amen. Bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you because of the grace of Almighty God in our lives, Father. Lord, no doubt we make many mistakes, Lord, but there's grace that comes before us and there's mercy that follows, Lord, that picks us up every time we fall. And we're so grateful, Lord, that you provided both grace and mercy. It's all because of your love. Your love constrained you to do it. And we're so grateful for these things. We pray this morning for our brothers, Lord, that are standing behind the sacred desk, bringing forth your word to your people. Lord, we see the seriousness of the hour, Lord God, and how late it is, Lord. Your word must be preached. Your people must believe, Lord. We're looking for a transformation of our bodies, Lord. So we must continue to feed on the word. Help us all to labor together, Lord God, to press the battle, to encourage one another in battle, Lord. To pray for one another at all times because we know that the enemy, Lord, he knows his time is at hand. And Father, he's attacking each and every one of your children, Lord. And Father God, we can't lose. We've already won, and we're so grateful for this, Lord. And we just ask that you keep a hedge about your children, Lord God, and as we stand, Lord, continue to just bless your people. We love you and we praise you this morning. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Where's Jordan at? God bless you. Happy birthday, brother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're getting up there. Amen. You're right behind me. Praise God. Amen. We have a Pinnacle Palm service today at 5:30 and combined service tonight at 6:30 at the Boynton Beach Church. Also, Brothers Prayer Tuesday at 7:30. We'd like to ask the brothers to come at this time. We'll take up this morning's tithing and offering.
Than being in the house of the Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for your tender mercies. Lord, we want to thank you for your grace. Lord, we know we're in the harvest time right now. Lord, you just called your second angel from Sodom home. And Lord, we know there's a rapturing getting ready to take place. And the only way out of here, Lord, is the Holy Ghost. That's the only ticket we need. So, Lord, I pray that we just keep in mind. And I pray, Lord, we just keep on moving and keep on striving. Don't stop. Lord, I just pray you anoint Brother Jack in a very special way. And I pray to whatever sermon he preaches today, it reaches somebody. Because I know I definitely need it. Lord, I pray that you just bless the ones that gives, and blessed are the ones that desire to give but don't have. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
to thank you, Lord. Let me say thank you.
So hard for me to see.
praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you serve a God who knows the end from the beginning? Amen. He's already there. Amen. What grace. Will you stand to your feet? We're going to ask our pastor to come at this time. Sing this little song together. There is nobody greater. I climbed into the highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Looked down into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Said I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. No one, no, no. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater. Come on, say I searched all over. Oh, sing it. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. No one, no, nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Come on, I searched all over. Oh, say I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater.
Oh, I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Oh, nobody greater. Well, nobody greater. Say nobody greater than you. Come on, sing it again. Oh, I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody greater, nobody greater. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's an awesome God. Amen. An awesome God. Y'all be seated just for a few minutes. Amen. So good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Good to be back in his house under expectation. Amen. On today. Amen. My God. Wanted to thank the Lord. Is this Arian Parham? Is that right? Arian Parham? Okay, God bless you. So good to have you with us on the day. Invited by Brother Jerry. Amen. We thank God to have him. Jordan Clement. Is that all right? Invited by Brother Jerry. God bless you. So good to have her. Amen. On today. And, I got a visitor's card, but she's not a visitor. Amen. She's not a visitor. Sister Kimber, it's good to have you. Amen. In the service of the Lord. And when I looked down and saw that Sister Kimber's name was here, something struck me. And I'll say this. The sermon that I'm going to preach today, I actually preached it a number of years ago, and Sister Kimber, you were here when I preached it. And so I have a feeling that God wants you to hear something. Amen. So we're just going to be obedient, you know, to the Lord Jesus. I got a real strange memory like that. A lot of things that I remember, you know, just those special moments and things like that happen. I'm trying to just follow. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord, and I just know God's at work, and I know that much. I know He's at work, and He don't make no mistake in anything that He does. Amen. I sincerely believe that. Amen. How many love the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the specials that went forth on today. I certainly appreciate you all. You all heard the announcements for tonight. We have Pinnacle Palms, and also I forgot to announce about the combined service, but that is happening tonight at Brother Gene's. Other thing that I think we missed that we need to start talking about is our Daniel fast. Our Daniel fast. I don't know the exact date that we're going to get started on that. March 10th. Okay. As a church, we usually enter into, amen, this time of fasting for 21 days just before Easter. I think we'll be breaking the fast right at Good Friday. And so just something that I heard about some years ago and just start doing it. And typically it's fasting. Fasting typically involves food and things of that nature. But in the Daniel fast, it does allow you to eat. It just, you don't eat what you normally eat, right? And it's no meats, no sweets, and you don't drink anything but water for 21 days. And I tell you what, it does your body real good to go through, amen, a cleansing like that. And more importantly, it's just spiritually, we're trying to draw closer to the Lord. And there are a number of ways to think through that time. We'll be, you know, having our weekly prayers and things of that nature. And often that's a time, if you just get something on your heart during that time of fasting and prayer, I believe God is able to answer your requests. Amen. I believe God is able to meet you. And not only that, we live in a society today, amen, where, you know, back in Bible days and they fast, it's probably just be food. But today we have so many things we probably need to fast from. Amen. Not just food, technology. We need to get off of it. Right. But, you know, we ask that, you know, try to find some things that you can just disconnect from. Some might not be able to do food. Amen. Because of health reasons. But this actually does let you do food. It's just a special diet that we go on for 21 days. And, you know, but if you can fast some technology, if you can fast, you know, just a lot of things that just even games, video games. Hello, somebody. Right, it's a lot of stuff we can fast, Just 21 days. Just give it up. Actually, you know what? There's something that says if you do something for 21 days, typically it becomes a habit. All right, it can become a habit to you if you get it for 21 days. So it could be a habitual lifestyle. You know, some of us might go off our medication if we can change our diet. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I know we want immediate healing. God's able to do that. We've seen him do it. But sometimes God healed through just your diet. Amen. Right. But there's a number of things, amen, that we could give up. And some of us, we say, well, you know what? I'm going to just give up technology, but I'm going to keep eating what I used. That's what you did last year. I want you to do something different this year. Amen, church. Praise God. We got to stop being weak Christians. Hello, somebody. Amen. I mean, we got to be able to do something sometimes for the Lord. So I want to encourage the church, amen, to get involved in the Daniel Fast. We'll be starting that on March 10th, amen, and kind of bringing it right up until Easter time. So just keep that in mind, amen. Certainly keep that in mind. All right. I'm not going to take any more time. Amen. Thank y'all, musicians. Appreciate you all. It's good to have Sister Cobb back on her horn. Amen. Lord, touch her body. Amen. Good to have her back at the clarinet. Amen. So I'm going to read two scriptures. And there's a number of different directions that we can go here today, but I'm just praying that God would just direct us, amen, and how we bring this out. But I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and also Matthew 16, amen. God bless you, everyone standing that can stand as we read the word of the Lord, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just reading one verse from here, amen. That will be verse 3. And it reads as follows. It says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. No man calleth Jesus accursed, and no man say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Turn with me also to Matthew 16. Very familiar passage. Glory to God. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. Father, we are certainly appreciative of the opportunity we have to read the word. God, I'm praying that that your spirit would make the word clear to us. It is important, Lord, that we catch what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us in this hour.
things are happening very fast. And God, if we're not spiritual, we will miss what is going on. So, Lord, my prayer is that you'd help us all to get out of the way, help us to surrender our thoughts, and that, God, you would just take complete control over this portion of the service. We bind every spirit that is against the Spirit of God, and we loose the Holy Ghost to have its way even right now in our midst. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So I took this title a number of years ago, and I want to take it again. It's titled Spiritual Revelation. Spiritual Revelation. And just bear with me. There's a lot here that's in my heart, and I want to try to slow down and get it all out if I can. But just bear with me. Let's start with this quote, amen, out of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want you to just try to follow these words, amen. Try to follow these words as I read them from God's prophet. It's going to be important to you, amen, spiritually. I'm in paragraph 13-4 in the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says, the importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. Amen. The importance of revelation by the Spirit. Now, first of all, you need to understand that revelation can only come by the Spirit. I can sit and talk with you till I'm blue in the face. I could spend all night with you, going from one verse to the next verse to the next verse, from Genesis to Revelation. I can try to show you Jesus, right? But you're not going to actually catch that until the Spirit of God gives it to you. Hallelujah. If there's anything you should pray for, it should be revelation. Right. Amen. Rather than praying and asking God for a new car, I know you need one. Rather than asking him for a new house, I know you need one. You might need an apartment. Rather than praying and only asking God. I want to use that word again. Only asking God for material blessings. You need to stop and ask God for revelation. Extremely important that you get revelation and understanding as to who Christ is, not who he was, not who he will be, but who he is right now. You need to know who Jesus is. Come on, somebody. Right. You know, we used to have this little thing. Amen. And they still have it. I'm just coming to my mind fresh. This guy, Waldo. Uh-huh. And they would have this little picture, amen, on the front of the book. And they would show you a picture of Waldo. Right. And Waldo would have maybe a red hat. Uh-huh. And his shoes would be black. And then he'd have maybe a blue scarf. Right. And then some stripes on or something like that. And then you have to turn the page and you got to find, amen, the guy in the midst of all this sea of people. You got to find the guy with the red hat and the blue scarf. Amen. And the stripes on and the black shoes, because you start looking at these different, amen, guys. They look like Waldo. But the only thing missing is that, you know, he don't have the blue scarf. Come on, this one have a white scarf on. And if he got a white scarf on, that's not Waldo. That guy is imitating Waldo. Are you with me? He's imitating Waldo, but that's not Waldo. You can't get your eyes focused on somebody imitating. Amen. We want the real thing. Hallelujah. And there's many churches that are in the land today imitating Christianity. But you're not looking for imitation. You want the real thing. Somebody that's going to tell you the truth, whether it hurts you or not. Their main focus is to get you to heaven. But you got to find Waldo.
Right? You got to find Waldo because there's many imitators out there. And when you're looking at it, you got to look real close. Because there's many that tell you, circle Waldo. And you go and you circle him. This is Waldo right here. And then you look at it, and you look at the front of the book, and then you look at the picture that you circle. No, that ain't Waldo. But he's on the page. He's on the page. You just got to find him. He might be hiding behind something. But you got to find Waldo. He might have one shoe out there. But there go that black shoe. There go that red hat. There go that blue scarf. There go them stripes. There's Waldo. And you know, the deeper you get in the book, the deeper you, the more you keep turning the pages, the harder it is to find Waldo. See, in the first church age, it might have been easy. In the second church age, it might have been easy. But when you get down to the seventh church age, it becomes difficult to find Waldo. But he's there. And you can't do nothing else but pray and ask God, help me to find who Waldo is. Help me to find the truth. Because the Bible says, you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. But this happens through spiritual revelation.
Yes, sir.
The importance, I'm going back to the quote, the importance of revelation by the Spirit.
Yes.
I mean, mama can't explain this.
Right.
Daddy can't explain this. Pastor can't explain this, but the Spirit of God can.
Yes,
so the importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized.
Right.
Listen, revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I am not talking about this book of Revelation and you. I am talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Do you remember in Matthew 16 where Jesus asked the disciples this question? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Lord, help us. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now, what you need to get there is that there were many opinions in the land in that day as to who Jesus was. And let me tell you, there's many opinions in the land today as to who he is right now and how he is using his servants. Yes, God did use Billy Graham, a great servant of God. Amen, a mighty servant of God. God used him. He had a very unique ministry, and I can point it out to you in the scripture how God used both Billy Graham and Oral Roberts.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
The prophet told us, oh Lord, I'm way ahead of myself, God. But the prophet told us that, you know, when we look at the name Abraham, his name was Abram, and then it was changed to Abraham. And what God did was give Abraham a part of his own name because he was Elohim. And he gave Abraham a part of his own name. Put them letters in Abraham's name. It had to be pronounced different now. No longer Abram, but Abraham gave him a part of his own name. Now he said, now what happened back in that time, in Abraham's time, Abraham had three visitors come down. God and two angels. And those two angels come down and they begin to fellowship with Abraham and fellowship with Sarah. And there they were sitting and having a little meal at the tent.
Yes, sir.
Now, first of all, if you go back and read the Bible, the chapter before, his name was Abram.
Uh-huh.
And then this chapter where God steps into Abraham's tent, he says, where's Sarah, thy wife? Because the chapter before, her name was Sarai.
Right.
Now, how did this visitor, with his back turned to the tent, say, where is Sarah? Not Sarai, but Sarah. I need you to understand. They had not even made it to the courthouse yet to get their names changed. However, this visitor knew the name Sarah and the name Abraham, because the visitor was none other than God himself in the flesh of man, coming to visit Abraham and Sarah to make his promise come to pass to them.
That's right.
Now he sent the two angels and him. They sitting, God and two angels sitting there visiting and talking and eating. And you know, this is one of the reasons why Praise the Lord, I know in the Daniel fast we're not going to eat meat, but I'm not going on that kind of diet for the rest of my life. I eat meat. And the reason I eat meat, because God ate meat. He ate meat. He had a calf, right? They killed a calf and they fed that to God. God ate meat. Hallelujah. So I can eat meat. Hello, somebody. Glory to God. Amen. But you know, here they're sitting there and they're eating and he began to reveal the secrets and everything. But before you know it, he sent the two angels. He stayed back with Abraham. Oh, God. He stayed back with Abraham and then he sent the two angels over. Amen. He said, now they're going down to Sodom. And he began to reveal to Abraham what was getting ready to happen in Sodom. Before destruction came to Sodom, somebody had a revelation on the earth. And here today, before destruction hits the United States of America, before destruction hits the entire world, God got some people on the earth with an understanding as to what's getting ready to happen. And if I could just break it down this way, these people have spiritual revelation. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Oh, my God.
Come on, man.
Hallelujah. But as the prophet was just beginning to share these things with, you know, with Abraham, he say, now, I heard about the sin in Sodom. I heard about the sin in Gomorrah. I'm hearing these things. This sin is reaching all the way to heaven. And I've come down. And I got two angels, and these angels are called investigating angels of judgment.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Stay with me. Uh-huh. And say, here these two angels come down as investigating angels of judgment. Okay. I'm sending them down into Sodom to see if it's really happening in Sodom like they say it's happening.
Yeah.
And you know what was going on in Sodom? Homosexuality is at an all-time high.
Right.
Praise the Lord, and tell me it's not there again. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So here we see the same conditions in Lot's day are the same conditions today. We know judgment is on the way because of the sin of the people. Hallelujah. Oh, my. I'm going to just say these things. I might be the only preacher in the city saying it. How you gonna go to church, sit in the pew, and be a homosexual couple, and feel comfortable in the house of God? How that's gonna happen in God's church? I just saw it. I said, I mean, now who is this? It's two women sitting there hugged up on each other in the house of God. I say, Lord, this is Sodom. I mean, if Sodomites can come to church and feel comfortable, something is wrong somewhere. We got Sodomites in the pulpit. Get them out the pulpit. Somebody need to shut that church down. See, I'm gonna just say this. See, when they let women get in the pulpit, that's what opened up the door to these sodomite spirits. God had order in the Bible. It ain't in the Word of God where you see these things. But when we start seeing it, that ought to let us know something wrong somewhere. Now, and many of us as believers, we know stuff wrong with that. That's why we start looking for something else. We know something wrong with it. But in order to receive right, you're going to have to change what you're doing. You just can't get part of God. You're going to have to take all of it. And the only way you can take all of God is you got to have spiritual revelation. Hallelujah. If God give it to me, he can give it to you. All right, let me go a little further with this because I, no, I'm not there yet. I'm going back to my I ain't finished with this Abraham and Sarah. So here God revealing to Abraham. He says, they're going down to investigate Sodom and Gomorrah because I'm about to destroy this place because of the sin. And the homosexuality was just ridiculous. One of the things that God's prophet told us about, you know, that time is that there would be a lot of buying and selling. And, you know, he said, I won't have time to read all this, but I got it. If you ever need it, I can show it to you where he said it. He says, it's like when you go out and buy a refrigerator. And this year you bought the refrigerator, you paid so much money for it, but next year they come out with a new model. And your old model, you feel like it ain't worth nothing no more. So you just run out there and you buy another one, right? Or if the Lord bless you, you got a new car, but next year they change something with the lights. And since it don't look like your car, amen, you'll put yourself in debt trying to keep up with the Joneses, going to get another car. He say, when you see that, that's a sign of the time. That's a sign of the end time when people do that. And sometimes it might not be a car. High Apple got people paying $1,000 for a telephone. I mean, and I'm going to tell you, when I dial your number, you know what it's going to do? Ring. That's all it's going to do is ring, and you're going to pick up and say hello, and I'm going to say hello. Why does it cost $1,000 to do that? And not only that, amen, now, because they're going to change one little feature. And then next year, they're going to sell it all over to you again for another $1,000. And because you want an Apple. It's just a phone. It's not an Apple. It's a phone. You can't even talk with an Apple. You talk with a phone. Stop allowing the devil to get y'all in debt with this nonsense. When I down there, they showed me a phone here. Say, how much is that? It cost me how much to change over? $2? Give it to me. I ain't gotta pay this. I give me that one. Well, you're gonna have less. I just take less memory. Can it make phone calls? All right. Glory to God. But that's a sign of the time when people get caught up in all this, wanting to, keep up with the. That's a sign of the time. Praise the Lord. When you look around and see all this building of developments, that's another sign of the time. Right? You can see all the natural signs, but keep your eye on the spiritual signs as well. Lord, help me. I'm trying to come back to this. Keep your eyes, amen, on the spiritual things as well, because God is moving. So when he sends Abraham, he sits there with Abraham and he's talking and he sends the other two angels down, amen, into Sodom and Gomorrah. And they have a job to go down and investigate what's going on in Sodom, what's going on in Gomorrah, amen, before destruction comes. Let me just put it this way. Before destruction happens, God sends messenger. And I got it. The church natural received a messenger. The church spiritual also received a message. I'm talking about two churches. Glory to God. I hope y'all can stay with me. Even the Bible said in the book of Revelation, to him that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That means there's a church spiritual, a church natural, a church true, and a church false. But they all there. Oh, God. Can y'all just bear with me here? Are y'all still with me? I ain't forgot about my thought. I just got to drop some things here and there. Glory! Now, I told you there's a church natural and a church spiritual. You got to find church spiritual. Church spiritual is moving by spiritual revelation, right? So now the reason that they're both churches, the reason that we consider them churches, amen, we consider them all Christians. Oh, my. The church down the street got Christians in it. The church next door got Christians in it. This church got Christians in it. This church also got non-Christians in it. This church got three kind of believers in it. Some true believers, some make believers, amen, some unbelievers. Lord, that's in every church. Your actions show who you are. Because a tree gonna be known by its fruit. Glory to God. All right. So here we got these things going on. But the reason that we call them all Christians, and this where we get back to that Waldo conversation. This where it get a little confusing. Because ain't they all churches? Well, if they're not standing on the word of God, can you really call them a church? If you find where they off one bit, you need to get out of there. Because one word off, you're hanging over hell. Now, the reason that we call them all churches because you have what we call, or we call them all Christians because you have these two different types. You have Christians of the Spirit and you have Christians of the flesh. Oh, y'all bear with me. I ain't forgot my thought. I'm coming back. Lord, just help me to bring it all together. But you got Christians of the spirit and Christians of the flesh. And the reason that it gets so confusing, because sometimes you got your eyes on a Christian of the flesh. And you might think that they're Christian of the spirit, but they're not. Because they can't go all the way with the word. They don't have true revelation. Now, the prophet actually tells us something here, and I'm gonna stop and read this one. This is out of Thyatira and Church Age. I'm in paragraph 226, paragraph 1. I'm going back to Abraham and Sarah and them two angels. Just y'all don't forget that's where I was, because I'm getting a little old and sometimes I forget. So y'all don't forget. Amen. Y'all can tell me where I was and I get back over there. Hallelujah. I want to read this Thyatira and Church Age. I'm trying to help you understand who Waldo is, who Christ is. Amen. Listen, he says this in Thyatira and Church Age. He says, now why does God call these churches his churches even though they are the false vine? I'm in 226, paragraph 1. He says, the truth of the matter is that they are Christians, but they are not Christians of the spirit. They are Christians of the flesh. Listen, they are bearing the name in vain. Mark 7:7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. But indeed they are Christians, for what else could they be? They're Christians, what else could they be? A Mohammedan is a Mohammedan. That is his religion, no matter how he lives it, because he subscribes in theory to what the Quran teaches. In the same way, a Christian is a Christian as long as he subscribes to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, born of a virgin, was crucified and died and rose again, then he is the Savior of mankind, etc. In fact, in the latest in age, which is the age in which we live in it right now, in the latest in age, there will be those who call themselves Christians because they subscribe to the fine qualities of Jesus, while reserving to themselves the right to deny his deity. Christian scientists have done that already, as well as multitudes who preach a social gospel. Now, when I just start talking about homosexuality, amen, in the pulpit, that ain't a social gospel. That's the type of sermon that the only place I can preach is right here. I'm not going to get invited to no church to say that. They will kick me out of there. Oh, my God. The truth is still the truth. Don't matter. Glory to God. I'm glad God gave me some place I can say it and be free to say it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He says, Christian, he says, and multitudes who will preach a social gospel. And now, let me also just drop in that. Social gospel is the one that tell you you're going to get rich by tomorrow. They a blessing plan. And you know, we go to church, we want somebody to prophesy over us. Oh, my God. Yeah, bear with me. You know, one time my sister went to the fair, and there was a lady out there reading crystal balls. And she saw my sister walk by, and she began to say, hey, you got this going on, you got that going on, you got this going on, you got that going on. That lady told her exactly what was going on in her life. She was right. We all look and say, now, that lady didn't even confess Christianity, but she was dead right. You know, that was a gift. And gifts and callings are without repentance. So anybody can have that kind of gift. We're not looking for that. But, you know, but church doesn't become that. But everybody just want a word from the Lord. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you the word from the Lord. I'm reading it to you out the Bible. That's your word from the Lord. Right? But everybody look for this type of stuff when they go to church. We want to be entertained. We got the music got to be just right. And you know, and come on, y'all, worship with me. Come on and worship with me. Come on, everybody. Come on. Wave your hand and work. No. If I got to do that every time you come to church, you're missing the reason why you're in church. You don't need nobody to tell you to worship. You already got that on the inside of you. And I'm going to tell you, if you sang something anointed, then we will worship. But, you know, we got all this nonsense going on in church. A lot of nonsense. And people don't understand that they're missing true revelation. Right? God not coming just to entertain people. He's trying to get something into your spirit. Let me stay with this. I'm trying to show you that there's these two groups that you need to just kind of be watchful of. Two groups, all right? So it says, Christian scientists have done it already, as well as multitudes who preach the social gospel. He is a nominal Christian and belongs to the church, but he is not a true or spiritual believer. That kind of believer is one who has been baptized into the body of Christ and is a member of him. But nonetheless, it is in God's order that the tares grow up with the wheat and they are not to be uprooted. That is the command of God. Their day for binding and burning is coming, but not yet. Now, I'm using that. And if y'all would just let me, y'all bear with me here. I want to drop these things off. I'm getting back over here to what happened with Abraham and Sarah. But I need to drop off a couple things so you can get some spiritual revelation. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I want to read something else. Amen. This is out of Why Are the People So Tossed About? I want to try to help us if I can. Glory to God. Now, yes, these are Christians, and yes, they are Christians, but what's the difference? Some are operating under spiritual revelation. Amen. Or what we would call they're Christians of the spirit, not Christians of the flesh. Glory to God. Amen. Anybody can believe Jesus died for their sins. Anybody can do that. And like we heard last week, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But the question is, what world? What world did God love? It's not the world you're thinking that he loved. Because he said he hate the world and the things of the world. So how are you going to love the world and hate the world at the same time? We need to know which world he's talking about. Glory to God. Amen. We done misused the scripture. Glory to God. God trying to bring us back to truth. So here in this message, why are the people so tossed about? Listen to this. Now, speaking this, there is two different types of Christianities. Oh, look at that. Two different types of Christianities. Seems strange, but I would not say two different types. I say two different phases would be a better word to use. Not two types, two phases. The same Christianity, but two phases of it. And one of them is an intellectual or mental conception of what God has said in his word and of Jesus Christ by the way of knowledge. All right? I mean, why are the people so tossed about? It says, and the other is an experimental experience that God has given the man in his heart. The one intellectually is a hungering. He's a feasting on God. His feast doesn't hold out. Oh, my Lord. He's feasting on God, but his feast doesn't hold out. What is he trying to say there? You know, you can go to church, amen, and get a little blessing. Glory to God. And let me tell you something. Yes, it is the same Holy Ghost that will fall in here, that will fall in any other church. It's the same exact Holy Ghost, right? And you can get a little blessing. You think, man, God is in this. But for some reason, the blessing don't hold out. Hallelujah. At some point in time, that blessing dry up, right? And you go on looking for something else. And reason you're looking for something else because there is something else for you to have. If there's a deep and you calling out to the deep, then surely there's a deep to respond to that cry. So listen, says the one intellectually is a hungering. He's a feasting on God, but his feast don't hold out. The other one seems to have victory all the time. I like Christians like that. Victory all the time. There's nothing bothers them. They're just as solid and anchored as they can be. No trials, no storms bothers them at all, but they seem to have something about them that people who are Christians are trying to live for God admire that type of Christian. And that's the type of Christian you want to be. And I've often wondered, Lord, what is it that these people have that others crave so much for and yet seem to fail to get it? So what he's trying to tell us here, now there's two different types, amen, or two different phases of Christians. You have some that's approaching God with an intellectual conception, and then others have a true revelation of who he is. Now I'm going on, I'm going to read a little bit more. I want to read from the message, the third Exodus. Amen, the third Exodus. I'm trying to get you to see that there's a difference in what you see, the true spiritual seed. And then also, amen, and if I could just put it in that term, Abraham had a spiritual seed and he had a natural seed, right? So we got to kind of catch the spiritual seed and what God's doing spiritually, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We're trying to approach it naturally, but God can't be approached that way. It's got to be spiritually. You got to have spiritual revelation. Only the Father can give you that. That's this one out of third Exodus. Stay with me here. God had Moses to be prophet. And though he had already prophesied and it proved that he was right, but yet he was in the school of wilderness, hid away from the rest of the world. But he was schooled, being trained out in the wilderness. The enemies will propose always his system, and unbelief will accept. Because the enemy is the intellectual sign. See, now remember, there's only two. Don't forget this. There's only two powers. One is spiritual power of the Holy Spirit. The other is the devil working through intellectual power. So you got two powers. One is spiritual power of the Holy Spirit, and the other one is the devil working through intellectual power. Says, for that's where he entered in the Garden of Eden through intellectual powers to make Eve believe in intellectual conception against the word, just as plain as it can be. The kids could get that. See, and that's the way it's been all the way down. Now, I really want to take my time and break into that Garden of Eden, amen, condition. I'm just not going to have time today. I already feel like I'm going to have to come back and preach this in two parts. But the main thing that I'm trying to get you to see, if I can just drive this point home, when you're looking for Christ, you're going to have to catch it spiritually, right? I mean, even today, all the way back in that time, they had to catch things spiritually, amen. When they say, "Who do men say I am?" they had to catch it spiritually. And today, we got to catch it spiritually. It's not because somebody sat down and shared these things with you. God got to open up your understanding. In order for him to open up your understanding, you need to be in a place where he can do that. you can't be feasting off false and expect God to open up something real to you. Now, he can do that. He can do that. But if you already know that there's a difference, why not give everything you got to what's real? Just for a little bit. Try it out for a little bit. Why not give everything you got? What I mean by that, come to church on Wednesday night. Come to church on Friday night. I mean, when you're really seeking God, you go through great extremes to find him. I mean, it's not just a Sunday morning thing here. Amen. Anytime the church doors open, I'm seeking God for more revelation. I want to be there to hear what God got to say to me. Give God everything you got just for a little bit. Let me go on now. Hallelujah. Get on back over here to Abraham, Sarah. These three angels, God and two angels, come down, and God sends the two angels away and tells Abraham they're on their way to Sodom. They're on their way to Gomorrah. And they're going down to check out what's going on down there in this land because, you know, the sins are reaching heaven, and I cannot allow people to live on my good earth sinning like that. I'm going to have to destroy these people off the face of the earth. So Abraham, when God told him the exact city he was going to, "You going where, Lord?" He said, "They're going to Sodom, and they're going to Gomorrah." So Abraham, being outside the city, glory to God, because that's where we Christians live, outside the things of the world. Hello? We don't do what the world does. We Christians. We don't go to the places that the world goes. We Christians. We don't drink like the world drink. We Christians. We don't dress like the world dress. We Christians. We don't look like the world look. We Christians. So here, you know, here Abraham's sitting out there, and God reveals to him, say, now, and notice the spiritual revelation came to Abraham. Lot didn't even know what was getting ready to happen. Lot down there having a good time, partying up something. Glory to God. He just partying up something, and his wife just so wrapped up in her societies and got all her friends. If I can just put it this way, she got so many followers. She got so many followers, and do you realize that because you got so many followers, you become a slave to the followers? You got to keep producing content.
That's good. Yeah.
You become a slave to it because you got so, and everybody looking for you to do something. You become a slave to it because you got so many followers.
That's good.
If you just get offline just for a little, everybody, well, where you at? What happened to you? I'm fasting. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anyhow.
Yes,
Abraham is sitting there with God in the tent. It was God and two angels. And Abraham's sitting there, and God began to tell him, say, now they're going down there. They're going down to destroy. Lot had no idea that destruction was coming. But here in God's grace, I need to kind of talk about, there's. I hope you can follow me. There's two scenes going on. There's one scene in Sodom. And there's another scene with Abraham. But God is working in both areas. Oh, glory to God. So here we have God, amen, moving with Abraham and revealing to Abraham, giving him spiritual revelation of the things that's getting ready to happen. And when Abraham catches it by revelation, say, now you're going where? They're going where? They're going down in the Sodom. Abraham say, oh. He say, they're going to destroy. If we find out that they're doing down there what we heard, that it's going to be destroyed. So Abraham say, real quick, he got in the prayer mode. He say, Lord, peradventure, there be 50 in Sodom. You know, 50 righteous. Say, would you destroy the whole city and you got 50 righteous people down there? He said, no, I won't destroy if I can find 50 righteous. Abraham say, okay, what if it's lacking 5? And you got 45 righteous. Will you destroy the city if you find 45? Say, no, I won't destroy if I find 45. Say, okay, Lord, don't get upset with me, but what about 30? If it's lacking 20 and you find 30, would you destroy? Say, no, I won't destroy if I can find 30. Okay, God, now I know I'm overstepping my space here. What about 20? If I find 20 righteous, you got my promise that I will not destroy that place, Abraham. So Abraham was just thinking in his mind, because he knew what was going on down in that city. But he also knew that he had relatives down there. I heard somebody tell me yesterday, family first. Family first. No matter what, family first. Hallelujah. I like that. I say, I'm going to use that. Family first. No matter what, family first. Glory to God. Right? So here Abraham got it in his mind, family first. And he said, now, I'm trying to calculate this thing. I'm trying to figure this thing out. He said, now, I know Lot is down there. I know Lot's wife is down there. And not only that, I know Lot's children have gotten married. Now, you know what? Abraham knew that they was married, and I'm sure Abraham probably told Lot a few things before his daughters got married to them people down there in Sodom. Hello, somebody. I'm sure Abraham spoke some things, but yet Lot's daughters went ahead and got married. But the man that they married, can I just be honest with y'all? I'm telling y'all Bible. The man that they married were men that were not looking to get married to have real wives. Right. Hallelujah. These men had other intentions. Maybe it was because they got a good tax return. They got other reasons why they get married. Right, but here they say Abraham said, now I got Lot's wife, Lot's two daughters, their spouses. He say, now maybe the people that Lot gave his daughter to, maybe their parents are believers too. Maybe he counted them folks. Say, I got 10. So he said, okay, Lord, I know you said 20. What if it's only 10 righteous? He said, if I could find 10. I want y'all to get this. In a city probably larger than West Palm Beach, God could not find 10 folk living right. 10. 10. We got more than 10 in the church today. And if this was, and Jesus said, now as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Will he find 10? I say, I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to be one of them. And here's the thing that I love about this particular passage of scripture is that even though Abraham did not actually ask God for Lot, God knew what his prayer was. And he went down there and pulled Lot and his daughters and his wife out. Now, you know, you go back and read Genesis 19. Lot tried to get his son-in-laws to come, but they wouldn't come. It was so bad in that city that when the angel showed up, the men of the city wanted to sexually get to know the angels. That's how bad it was in that city, that they would go after angels. These men were so wicked that women didn't do anything for them anymore. Uh-oh, I'm out there. You want to know why? Can I tell y'all why the women didn't do nothing for them? Do y'all want to know why? The reason that the women didn't do nothing for them anymore, because the men had saw the women's flesh so much that it stopped appealing to them. They saw their flesh so much. And you know, right now, everybody trying to push this out and push that out. I mean, you do it so much that men don't even want it. Now you got women whistling at you. That's how sad it was. I went, oh, glory to God. I know I ain't nothing but the truth. When I go to church and see two women sitting up there hugged up on each other, I know something wrong with this. This is Sodom and Gomorrah conditions in the house of God. And I know right now folk wouldn't come to this church and do that. I know it. They might start out, might not know what type of church it is. And then after a little sermon like this, you see their hands slide down, and then you see them. Put a mark on the, I'll never go back to that church again. That's what happens. But as Lot by the grace of God, got a visitation from two angels, heavenly beings. But yet and still, they had a desire in their heart where they wanted the things of the world. He said, now, when y'all leave the city, don't look back. And here, Lot's wife, when she turned, she didn't turn physically. It was in her heart that she turned. She wanted back. And when she turned her heart, she turned into a pillar of salt. Now, I need you to understand what the prophet told us about this. And I'm trying to bring this all the way back around. What the prophet told us, say, now, when Abraham received a piece of Elohim's name, God's name himself, when his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, right? He says, now, there was never a time in all history where God dealt with the world the way that he dealt, amen, the way that he dealt back there in that time. He said, notice he changed Abraham's name. He was a messenger. I mean, he received a messenger. Abraham received a messenger. But also Lot and the people of Sodom, they received two messengers. He said, that's a type for two modern messengers that went to them today. The two modern messengers were Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. He said, notice now, Graham, H-A-M, G-R-A-H-A-M. There's never been a man of God on the scene with that last name like that, ending with H-A-M. And God used him the way he used Billy Graham. Oh, my. There's never, he said, in all history, you go back and look at all the great revivals that happened, there was never a time where God used a man with the last name ending in H-A-M. G-R-A-H-A-M. Is that what he said? But spiritual revelation. Yes. Spiritual revelation. Billy Graham and Oral Roberts went to church nominal. They went to the church, the Christians of the flesh. Uh-huh. If I can put it that way, they went to a different group, and they did a mighty work. God used them just like he used the two angels then in Genesis 19. Amen. But remember, he said there was never a time that God used a messenger with the name ending with H-A-M and G-R-A-H-A-M. And they say, he went on to say a little further, they say six letters. And he stopped there. They say six letters. Why? Because it's going to take spiritual revelation for you to catch something else. There was two things happening. Yes, God was dealing with the church out here, but he was also dealing with this group over here where Abraham was. Now, Abraham, A-B-R-A-H-A-M, seven letters. Six represents the number of man, but seven is a number of completion. Oh, my. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So in Abraham's tent, God was revealing certain things to Abraham that Lot them had no idea was happening. So spiritual revelation also tells us that God dealt with another man in this generation, and his name also ended with H-A-M. Not just G-R-A-H-A-M, Graham, six letters, but there was a man with seven letters, and God used his ministry as well. His name happened to be B-R-A-N-H-A-M, seven letters. Branham. But it takes spiritual revelation to understand what God was doing over here with this group and what God was doing with that group. And God was involved in both groups.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Here's the significance behind this. After the two angels went down into Sodom and they pulled Lot and his wife and his children out after they left. Now, I'm going to tell you, it was a hard time to get them out of there. It was hard. I mean, they were just lingering. Just, I mean, and I don't know, maybe Lot really realized, man, I ain't going to be married anymore. I done lost my status here, and I done lost this. And he said, man, you better stop worrying about your status. You know, some people won't leave certain churches because they got a status. You're losing your soul over your status. He said, Lot, stop lingering. You got to get out of here. And I mean, things getting ready to happen right now. You better leave now. And he said, escape, get to the mountains. Get out of here fast as possible because we getting ready to destroy this place. Hallelujah. You know, when they were coming, when the angel showed up at Lot's house and these men wanted to gather around the house, say, bring us the men that came into the city today. We know they're in your house, Lot. Bring them out. Bring us those men. He said, man, they surrounded the house, these gay men. I'm telling you just what the Bible said. Gay men surrounded the house. And they said, bring out, we want to get to know them. I mean, oh, Lord. Can I just be honest? Can y'all like it raw, right? Can you imagine that? They didn't even know these guys' names. Hey, y'all ain't with me. They didn't even know their names. But were still interested in getting into bed with them. And it's the same thing with people today. They don't even know folk. You just met them online. And then come up with some lie. How you know? You met that person online. I had a friend of mine tell me one time. Told his parents. He met this lady. And he say, I told my parents that I met her at the mall. And what he did with the young lady, say, we're going to meet at the mall. We met online, but we're going to meet at the mall. Right? And that way we can tell people we met at the mall. Then don't even know, folk. This is the type of spirit. Y'all, come on. Y'all see this stuff on Facebook, Instagram, everywhere. You see it everywhere else, and you might as well hear it from the pulpit, too. That's the type of spirit that was in the land in that time. Don't even know nobody. Ain't even had no, you don't know their name. You don't know where they come from. You don't know if they got a disease or not. You don't know nothing. But willing to lay down with them. Somebody say it's the truth anyhow. But here these people doing this, and they didn't even, they surrounded the house and like, bring out the men. Bring out the men that came to your house today. We know you got some visitors. Bring them out. We want to get to know them. And when you read that in your Bible, I'm telling you what it means. They want to get to know them sexually. They weren't trying to get to, hey, bro, how you doing? What's your name? That guys don't do that. If I don't know you, I ain't never met you before. But I'm acknowledging what I do. I ain't trying to get to know you like that. I don't know you like that. Come on, tell your neighbor, it's the truth anyhow. But this is the type of sin that was happening in the land in that day before God came down and destroyed it. And now of course when angels going down to investigate the city, of course they know it's sin in the city if the men of the city coming after them. Man, it's pretty bad. I'm a visitor, just stopped in one night, and these people are all over me. I said, man, he said, Lot, get on into his. And if not had not the angels blinded these men, they would have broke the door down coming into Lot's house to take them in. He said, Lot, you got to get out of here now. You can't stay in this city one more night. Can I be honest? You can't stay where you're at one more day. You got to come out now. Right. They're like, get your stuff. They probably didn't have time to pack up nothing. They didn't have time to go back and get their tambourine. They had to leave immediately. And God wants us to leave some situations immediately. Here they step out. They and Lot just being rushed out. He's like, now get to the mountain, get as far as you can away from this place. Get out of here, Lot. And y'all gonna make me. Y'all gonna pull me into areas that it's not in my notes, but I'm just going in there. Get out, Lot. Lot trying to negotiate. Well, can I just go? This city look closer. Can I go over here? Say, no. You better get the way I told you. So I have to send Lot. I ain't got time to negotiate with you. I ain't got time for this. Go on and do what you want to do. Go on and do whatever you want to do, Lot. I ain't got time for this. Lot say, okay. And they went on. And two things happened. If I can just keep it in my head, Lord, bring it back to me. First thing happened is that when they left, destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. Second thing happened. Is that city that Lot ended up in? Wasn't no men there. Wasn't no other folk there. His daughters. Can y'all gonna let me preach the Bible in here? His daughters wanted to help God out. They came up with a scheme. Now, it's one thing. Now, you know, with all that rushing to get out of the city, the one thing they didn't forget was the liquor. Christians shouldn't be drinking. No. Amen. Amen. Christians shouldn't be hanging out where folk drinking either. Amen. I always said no to happy hour when I worked. Always. I did not go to happy hour. Amen. Sir. Amen. Ain't nothing to be happy about. Folk driving home drunk and somebody get in an accident, kill somebody, and all over happy hour. But here, they didn't forget liquor. How was it that night they get their daddy up there and my wife not here? Oh, he just all messed up in his mind, messed up. So his daughters come up with this plan because they ain't see no men in this city at all. And they say, well, you know what? We want to have children so our father's name can go on. I'm telling y'all what the Bible says. Uh-huh. They came up with this plan. You know what? Tonight we're going to get daddy drunk. And we get him drunk. Since I'm the oldest, I'm going to go in and be with daddy. And I'm going to get pregnant by daddy. Y'all know how people get pregnant? That's what they did with their daddy. And some of y'all say, that's sick, people doing it today. And God going to judge people for it. I mean, I just heard something on some news report. Some father and daughter was separated for years. I think he gave the daughter up for adoption or something like that. And some kind of way the girl got back in touch with her daddy. And do you know, I don't know how it happened, but that man married his own daughter. And had his mama and daddy at the ceremony. They should have locked the whole family up. Now, I don't know if he told his mom and daddy that's who he was marrying, because people hide all kind of stuff from you. But I don't know if he told them, but that man got married to his own daughter. And when the law found out, it locked both the daughter and the daddy up. They need to be locked up. Yes, sir. But this type of stuff is happening in our world today. It's always on the news. It's the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Here, this daughter come up with this plan. Now, I'm going to get daddy drunk, and I'm going to get pregnant. Tonight by daddy. And the other sister said, okay, tomorrow night will be my turn. What? That got daddy drunk a second time. And Lot has this relationship with his daughters. That shows when you're under the wrong influence. See, if they would have never been in Sodom, they start deducing things. It ain't as bad as what they doing in Sodom. No, God didn't like that either.
That's right.
If he was with Abraham, that would have never happened. Because you didn't hear that kind of stuff going on in Abraham's camp.
Praise the Lord. When it's time to get married, Abraham went and sent Eliezer to go find somebody to bring them back for my son. But they didn't have them kind of problems in Abraham's camp. A lot compromising, always compromising. And look at what the trouble it produced. And Lot got his own two daughters pregnant. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think he was that drunk. I know he wasn't that drunk. I know it. I'm 100% sure. I can prove it by the Bible. Lot was not that drunk. You want to know how I know that? Because if you look in David's day, when David got this other woman pregnant, Bathsheba, he called her husband off of the field. Out in the battle, Uriah, come on home. And got the man drunk and said, now, man, you ain't got to be out there battling. Said, man, go on down there and spend some time with your wife. Uriah said, no, I ain't going home. Said, man, he just drunk. He was drunk as I don't know what. He was so drunk, he fell asleep at David's house. They sent the man outside, thought he was going to go home. Because, you know, drinking puts spirits on you.
Yes, sir.
Somebody say, it's the truth anyhow. But say, now going down there to your wife, that man fell asleep right at David's door. And David woke up and said, no, I thought you were supposed to go down. I told you to go home. Said, no, I got men out there fighting on the battlefield. I can't go down there and have no pleasure with my wife. I got to stay right here and get ready for the battle. That's how Lot wasn't that drunk. Because Uriah wasn't that drunk either. And he had good sense. Some people like to blame they talking on their drink. No, they've been wanting to say that all along. They're using a drink to get it out. The thing that I need you to see is that spiritual revelation is what Abraham had so that he could avoid what was getting ready to happen down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot didn't have that. Lot was what we would call a nominal believer. And God loved him so much that he still brought him out before he destroyed it. Right? And what God's trying to do is get people attention again today. Just as I gave you, as God had God himself and two angels that went down in Sodom and Gomorrah's time, God did the same thing today. God came down in the ministry of William Branham. And he used that ministry to get the bride's attention. That's all it was. Not to exalt Brother Branham. But God was using his ministry. If God could enter into a man's body in Abraham's time, amen, then God can enter into a man's body today. Yes, it's still God. Right. Oh, my. Amen. Just like he used Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, he used Brother Branham. It was the same God using them all. Now, I tell you what, I'm going to read one quote. I got some other things here that I need to say to y'all. But it's going to come at a later time. I want to talk a little bit more about this spiritual revelation. But here, let me kind of find a way out of here today. Since, you know, Billy Graham, we honor this great man of God. God called him at 99 years old. But like I told you before, when the angels left Sodom, destruction immediately came. And I don't know what's going to happen here in our time, but I know destruction's about to come. We are turning a spiritual corner. And you better be ready to turn. You better be ready to turn. Don't miss this, church. Things are happening very fast. I honor this man of God. I went out and just found a couple quotes. I'm coming home. The last quote I'm going to read is out of Proving His Word. So just get that ready. But before we say that, I think that might be the last one I read. But here, just a couple quotes that I pulled from Billy Graham, amen, some things that he stated while he was here with us. We thank God for this great man of God. Amen. He made a statement that says, God proved his love on the cross when Christ hung and bled and died. It was God saying to the world, I love you. It says, being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It is a daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Christ. So being a Christian is not some type of instantaneous conversion, right? He also said this. This is a good one. I like this. When wealth is lost, nothing is lost. That's because you can get it all back, right? When health is lost, something is lost. But look at this. When character is lost, all is lost. I want you to think about that. When wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost. When your character don't mean nothing to people, you done lost everything. He said, my home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. He says, I've read the last page of the Bible. It's all going to turn out all right. Says God will prepare everything for our perfect happiness in heaven. And if it takes my dog being there, I believe he'll be there. That's what I said. Now, where you think he heard that at? Because the prophet talked about his dog being in heaven. He had a vision of his dog being in heaven. He said, everything I love and everything that ever loved me, God has given me. Woo! A prophet said that, William Branham. And here Billy Graham is quoting that. Said, if my dog will be there, I believe. He said, God will prepare everything for our perfect happiness in heaven. If it takes my dog being there, I believe he'll be there. Brother Branham had a vision. He was there on the other side, and he saw the dog come lick him on the hand. The dog was there. He even saw his horse there. And somebody started criticizing. Oh, you say a horse was in heaven? Come on. I was with you on this vision thing, but horses and dogs and stuff in heaven? He said, come on, brother. You done went off. He said, brother, I appreciate, your criticism and everything. He said, but just tell me, where did the horses come from that carry Elijah home? He said, where did the horse come from that Jesus was riding on in Revelation 19? Where did that horse come from if it didn't come from heaven? He just put him right back in the word. This other one that he said, a child who is allowed to be disrespectful to his parents will not have true respect for anyone. Notice this statement, a child who is allowed, that's the key, allowed to be disrespectful to his parents will not have true respect for anyone. So that means parents got to step up and be parents. Even if the law, I told y'all, boys, the law going to take me away. If I knew they was taking me away because something I said or did to my daughters, I'm going to go to jail with a smile. Something going to happen before I go to jail, though. I'm just letting you know. I'm gonna go, and when I'm sitting there behind bars,
nice folks.
Hey, I'm gonna be smiling real good. You ain't gonna get me there for nothing, right? I'm gonna be done something. But if they're allowed. If a child who is allowed to be disrespectful to his parents will not have true respect for anyone. All right, let me just finish this by reading this little quote. I'm going to do a part two to this sermon because I got some more that I need to share with you. Proving his word is where I'm reading from. And I'm going back. I'm reading a quote just to solidify what I was talking about with Abraham and with Sarah and God and two angels coming down to visit them. It says, now he said, that will return again. Son of man, which that was the Son of Man right there. And when he's saying that will return again, that's what Jesus said that in St. Luke 17, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So it says, now he said that will return again. And the Son of Man, which that was the Son of Man right there, when he called him Elohim, Lord God, Elohim. Anybody knows that's right. Elohim is the Lord God. In the beginning, Elohim created heavens and earth, the all-sufficient one. The Son of Man made flesh. There he was standing there in flesh at that time like a theophany, standing there discerning what Sarah was saying in the tent behind him. He promised. Watch, the royal seed of Abraham is promised to see the same thing. But notice Lot. He had a messenger down there. Lot had a messenger down there. Two of them went down there. One of them went down. Another one went down with them, and they preached and called the people to flee from the wrath that was to come. It says, positionally, the world has never sit in that estate from that day that Jesus made the promise until right now. I want to ask any historian that might be in the building, or if you hear it even on this tape and hear it at any time, please write me. I've studied history now for some 30 years, the Bible history, and there never has been a person that I've ever seen in all the history of the church through the seven church ages that were now in Laodicea, and we know that. Now, let me also just drop this off. The reason I'm reading to you what the prophet said or what Brother Branham said, we had never heard these things in the churches that we preached, that we went to.
That's right.
We didn't hear these truths. Yes. We wouldn't even know these things existed.
Right.
So it's important for me to kind of tell you, look, a prophet is trying to tell you something.
Yes.
Hear what the prophet is saying. In the Bible time, when the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, you better be listening.
Right.
And God sent a prophet in this day. He had, thus saith the Lord. We better be listening.
Right.
Listen. It says, now, has there been a messenger that ever went to the entire church with his name ending with H-A-M?
Uh-huh.
Till now, G-R-A-H-A-M, Billy Graham.
Right.
There has been Moody's, Finney, Sankey, Knox, Luther. He's just going through church history, giving you names. And so forth, but never a H-A-M.
Uh-huh.
Now, how many people would have been able to catch that? But the prophet did. Right. Never a H-A-M. Father to nations. And if you go back and look, Billy Graham's ministry went to every nation. And the prophet said he was a father to nations. Everybody acknowledged this man's ministry. The man, I mean, even the presidents. A president got in office. He went to seek out Billy Graham. Oh, when Clinton got in trouble, he's talking to Billy Graham. Anytime anything happened, I mean, Eisenhower all the way up, this man was just there ministering to all the presidents. Now, they wouldn't have had Brother Branham come in and minister to them.
Right.
We call that their sin. But see, you being a nominal or social gospel preacher, can I put it that way? God used him, but he was what we call a social gospel preacher. He's one that don't rub nobody wrong. Oh, sometime you're going to come here and you're going to get rubbed the wrong way. Sometime I come here and get rubbed the wrong way. I done had preachers come here. My shoes, if y'all can see my feet inside my shoes, they just like this. Please don't step no more on my toes. But you know what? That let us know that God loves us. Because those he loves, he rebuke and chasten. Hello, somebody. When you do wrong, you should get rebuked.
That's right.
Amen. Tell somebody it's the truth anyhow.
Yes, it is.
All right, let me go on. Father of the nations. Now, remember, he is G-R-A-H-A-M, six letters, but Abraham, A-B-R-A-H-A-M, in seven letters. Notice they're down there. Billy Graham going into all parts of the world and calling out of Sodom, come out, flee the wrath that is to come. There is no man that I know of in the field that has got a hold of God on the word of justification like Billy Graham does. He can present it. He's not such a theologian. I guess he's a theologian, but he's not just a powerful teacher, but God is with him.
Yeah.
That man will stand there with like a Sunday school lesson, hold those people spellbound. He's God's servant of the hour. That's what a prophet said about him. To who? The church natural. That's in Sodom. But remember, see, his message went to Sodom. Now, Abraham didn't receive the message in Sodom. Abraham was outside of Sodom. He had a different messenger. All right. Says, but remember, there was one church spiritual that wasn't in that denominational outfit either, called out group, and they received a message also and a messenger. And what was it? Discerning the thoughts that was in the heart, God always proves his word. And if you just caught that, scroll back up like paragraph 204 right there. Just scroll, take your finger and go up, 204. All right, now keep going. Right there. Notice that where it says name ending with H-A-M to now, G-R-A-H-A-M, Billy Graham. There's been Moody's, Finney, Sankey, Knox, Luther, so forth, but never a H-A-M, father to nations. But remember, he is G-R-A-H-A-M, six letters. But A-B-R-A-H-A-M is seven letters. Notice they're down there. Now, he keep on going. He never actually said anything. He never said anything else. Even he preaching H-A-M and knew that his name ended in H-A-M and his name had seven letters. He knew it but never said nothing about it. Why? It took spiritual revelation for you to understand that he was the messenger to Abraham's seed. Not church nominal, church spiritual. And you are church spiritual. It's always been two groups. From the days of Cain and Abel, it's been two groups. Two different worship services. Two different churches. Two different ways of worship. Two different ways. And they offered it to the same God. Cain had an offering. Abel had an offering. Both going to the same God. Yeah. One was accepted. The other was rejected. Yeah. And the reason Abel could offer what he offered is because he had spiritual revelation. And let me tell you, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. But my Father in heaven has revealed this unto you. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something else. When you catch the revelation, yeah, you're going to worship God in spirit.
Yes, sir.
You're going to worship him in spirit and truth. And I'm going to tell you this right now. God's seeking those that want to worship him like that. And he creates some unwanted circumstances to put you in a place where he going to get that kind of worship from you. Glory to God. My. Church, I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's hard to get it all out, but I know what I'm talking about. It takes spiritual revelation. I'm not finished with this. I just had to go the way the Holy Ghost said go today. Amen. But I got more for y'all on this. I gotta talk a little bit more about this. Glory to God. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we are so grateful for the word, amen, that you speak to our hearts. God, what a critical hour that we live in. We've been praying. We've been, Lord, just gathering together. And Father, just seeking your face on behalf of our loved ones, on behalf of our friends. Lord, and our desire is to see them come to truth. Because the Bible says we'll know the truth and it'll make us free. So help us, God, to walk in this truth that has been given to us. And truth will change us. Truth will transform us. Truth will make us look like Jesus. We won't compromise with this word. And yes, there are some things that we do in this world. Look at Sodom and what Lot and his daughters and all the things that they were doing down there. Father, it was wickedness in your sight. Even though they come out and maybe they're not living the homosexual lifestyle like the others, but Lord, for them to come up with the idea that they did in order to bring forth children. Those girls, look at the way their minds were to even think to do something like that with their daddy. And for the father, look at where his mind was that he would even do something like that with his daughters. God, it shows you the wickedness that's in the land today. And it's so easy for us to compromise and feel like, well, at least we're better than this person. That's not what you're calling us to do, is be better than somebody else. You're calling us to be Christians. We got to be like Christ. Help us to stop the compromising. The hour's late. The day is at hand. We got to get right. We got to get ready. We need to be ready to go. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Here, you've called Billy Graham home. He was a sign. He was a sign. Because when those two angels left Sodom, destruction was at hand. And God, destruction is on the way. The sin is, as we heard before, if you don't raise up and destroy the U.S. like you destroyed Sodom, then you would have to raise up Sodom and apologize to them for destroying them because of their sin. Because the same sins are right now in our land. And it's not just here in this country. It's all over the world. God help us. While every head bowed, I want to just give an opportunity this morning. If you do not know Jesus in the pardoning of your sins, if you know that your life is not right in his presence right now, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar today. Not just lift your hands. I want you to walk out on the devil. I want to invite you, walk out, make a public display that I am not living this lifestyle anymore. But today I want to be free from this and I don't want to go back to it. I want to invite you, while every head is bowed, while every eye is closed, you come on down to the altar and I'm going to pray with you. You know your heart not right with God. You know that if you were to die after you left this place that you would not go to heaven. I'm inviting you. Is God giving you an invitation to come? While every head bowed, while every eye is closed, I'm inviting you to come. Lot kept lingering. Lot kept waiting. And that lingering might have caused him to lose his wife. Maybe if he would have left as soon as the angels told him to leave, maybe she would have been spared. She began to think about the things that she was leaving behind. She turned in her heart. She was turned to a pillar of salt. Don't let that be your testimony. Walk out on the devil. Walk out on the devil. Give God all your heart. I invite you today in Jesus' name. Let me pray with you today. This whole scene will be replayed on Judgment Day. My words will be replayed back to you. This moment will be replayed back to you. If you don't know Jesus, come. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Come. We invite you to come. If you don't know Jesus the way that you need to know Jesus, it don't matter how long you've been going to church. That ain't got nothing to do with it. That ain't got nothing to do with it. You know that you ain't doing right. You ain't living right. Come, come, come. God knows that there are hearts in here. That God don't play games when he gives his word. He don't play games. He knows exactly where his people are. He's a smart God. He's very aware. His grace has been extended to you today. Don't linger. Come. God, I need to repent in your presence. I need to repent. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm inviting you to come. I'm inviting you to come. Hallelujah. His presence is here. His presence is here. He's dealing with hearts even right now. Come with the determination that I'm leaving sin behind. Today is my day. I'm driving down a stake and I'm leaving this place free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I need thee, oh,
need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Yeah. Every hour I need thee, so bless me now, my Savior. I come, oh, I come. My hands raised, I come to
Heavenly Father. Father, what a great hour that we're living in, Lord. Father God, it's the hour of your coming, Lord. Not only the hour of your coming, but it's a time of trouble that comes after your coming, Lord. Lord, we have come here to make ready. And Father, we see Billy Graham go home at the age of 99, Lord. That last angel has left the scene. Those angels left the scene when Abraham was 99 years old, Lord. So it's no coincidence that Billy Graham was 99 when the last angel left. And after that came the burning. Lord God, but there also was a body change for Abraham and Sarah. And Father, we're making ready, Lord. We're eating our way into a body change by feeding on the word of Almighty God. And Father, you brought it to us, Lord. There was something that you wanted to say to us this morning. Father, we have ears to hear, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord, because, Lord, you have waking up our spiritual understanding, Lord God, to truly recognize where we're standing at, Lord. Lord, we must cast everything aside and completely concentrate on you in this hour, Lord. We want to be like you, Lord, so much, Lord, that we become you, a true oneness between God and his people. Father, we surrender, Lord. We give ourselves to you. Lord, we need you more and more. And I ask, oh God, that you continue to bless your people. Lord, may each one here meditate on the words that we've heard this morning, Lord God. And may you order and grant spiritual revelation to each one of us that we may recognize what you're doing in this hour and recognize who we are, Father God, and who Jesus is, where he manifested himself, where he's manifesting himself. We love you. We praise you. Ask that as we leave this place that you continue to abide with us. We love you. We praise you. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, bless your people. Amen and amen. You may have your seat, saints, and the brethren will come and dismiss you. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I lift my as I worship at your throne.
bow my knee.